The former Vice President of the United States, Dick Cheney, a leading advocate for the invasion of Iraq, has died at the age of 84. The influential Republican worked with a string of presidents, but he's best known for his years at the side of George W. Bush, where he shaped US foreign policy, drawing praise and also criticism. In a moment, you'll hear from a former Bush advisor who worked with Mr. Cheney. But Luke, first, give us a sense of how Dick Cheney became a Washington heavyweight.
Sally, you could say he was kind of born into it, not through power or wealth, though. His parents were Democrats. They were actually pretty happy to have a son born on January 30th, 1941, because he shared a birthday with the former Democratic president, Franklin D. Roosevelt. And certainly Democratic politics, you know, played a role in Dick Cheney's early life. He was a uni dropout, but while he was there, a visit from President John F. Kennedy seemed to stir something within him. He wrote in his memoir that he was pretty grateful for, you know, a sense of elevated possibilities that came from that meeting. He went to Washington in the late 60s. He became Gerald Ford's chief of staff at just 34 in the 70s. By 1989, he was nominated to be George H.W. Bush's defense secretary. So it seemed pretty fitting that, you know, a decade later, he joined his former boss's son on the presidential ticket.
I believe you're looking at the next vice president of the United States. I didn't pick Dick Cheney because of Wyoming's three electoral votes. although we're going to work hard to earn them.
When the governor first asked whether or not I would consider being a candidate, I respectfully declined. In the end, I learned how persuasive he can be.
And Luke, Dick Cheney was a strong advocate for the war in Iraq, and that has shaped his legacy internationally.
It really did, Sally. He was one of the most outspoken in the administration about Iraq and the threat that Saddam Hussein posed to the West, given, you know, his supposed accrual of weapons of mass destruction. And that was despite no weapons of the sort ever being found.
What evidence can you lay before the world that Saddam Hussein does have or shortly will have the capability to threaten not only his own people, but countries in Western Europe and indeed the United States itself?
We have to be concerned about the potential marriage, if you will, between a terrorist organization like Al-Qaeda and those who hold or are proliferating knowledge about weapons of mass destruction.
Despite there turning out to be no WMD and, you know, the initial war dragging on for nearly a decade, he still stood by that decision to invade and topple Saddam Hussein.
I don't think you can make a case that the world would be better off today if Saddam Hussein were still in power.
So no regrets about Iraq?
I think we made exactly the right decisions.
That from an interview he gave to CNN in 2011. Because of that, Sally, there are really mixed views about his legacy around the world. Reuters has actually been speaking to Iraqis on the street of Baghdad today. Here's what one person has said.
Indeed, they played a major role in politics, especially in the destruction of Iraq through their repeated falsehoods.
On top of that, Dick Cheney stood by America's military prison in Cuba, Guantanamo Bay. He defended so-called enhanced interrogation techniques of terrorism suspects, including waterboarding and sleep deprivation. And for all of that, Dick Cheney is really a man who, you know, drew praise by many in the United States and in the West, but Sally, also someone who was condemned by many right around the world.
And Luke, in Dick Cheney's later years, he famously campaigned against Donald Trump, even throwing his support behind Kamala Harris in the most recent presidential election.
Quite an incredible move for someone seen as such a figure in the Republican Party. We're about to hear more about that with Scott Jennings, who worked alongside Dick Cheney in those later years, along with his daughter, Liz Cheney, climbed up the Republican ranks. She voted to impeach Donald Trump after the January 6th Capitol riots, and then she lost her seat. Actually, at the first anniversary commemoration of the Capitol riots, Dick Cheney joined his daughter in the Senate chamber. They were the only Republicans there. Dick Cheney's split with the Republicans only grew when he turned against Donald Trump.
In our nation's 246-year history, there has never been an individual who is a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump.
In 2024, he and his daughter endorsed Democrat Kamala Harris over Donald Trump. Sally, this morning, many people are waiting to see what the president will say about Dick Cheney. We're yet to have a response from him.
Luke, thank you very much. And for more on Dick Cheney, who's died at the age of 84, I spoke with Scott Jennings. Scott is a CNN political commentator and Republican strategist who worked with Mr. Cheney on several occasions. Scott Jennings, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
How is the news of Dick Cheney's death being received in Republican circles?
Well, it's a sad day, honestly. Vice President Cheney was a legend in the Republican Party. I actually worked for him in both of his campaigns for vice president. And then, of course, I served in the Bush-Cheney White House. So I was privileged to be able to have spent some time with him, both in the campaign setting and in the government setting. And he had a storied career and was a real legend. And his loss is being felt, I think, with great sadness across the party today.
When you look back on his political career, what would you observe were his greatest strengths and his greatest vulnerabilities?
Well, he was known as a real bureaucratic knife fighter. And by that, I mean in government, able to understand how government worked and maneuver inside of it in order to achieve outcomes. You know, he was the youngest White House chief of staff in history. When he got elected to Congress, he immediately rose up into the ranks of House Republican leadership. He, of course, then ascended to Secretary of Defense and then became the most powerful vice president in American history. I mean, all of that was really because of just what a student of how to work the system he really was. And so I think he was mostly known as, you know, one of the Republicans' best government operatives. Now, I served in both Bush-Cheney campaigns, and even though he wasn't known as a gregarious backslapper, you know, when it comes to political campaigning, he was very good in debates and very good rhetorically. I remember in 2004 in the debate against John Edwards, he just took John Edwards to the woodshed repeatedly during that debate and kind of reminded everyone, you know, who the adults were in the campaign. So, you know, I regarded him as, you know, sort of a legend of government, but I also had an up-close view of what he could do in a campaign, and you didn't want to discount those skills either.
The links between 9/11 and Iraq, Dick Cheney got those wrong publicly. How do you reflect on that?
Well, certainly one of the things he'll be most linked with in his biographies is the decisions that were made in the Bush White House after 9/11. And, that's a big part of his legacy, keeping America safe, engaging in foreign wars, you know, the muscular response to radical Islamic terrorism, the implementation of the Patriot Act. I mean, you know, you can go back in time and look at all of that. And certainly Vice President Cheney was in the middle of it. Of course, if you go back further, when he was Secretary of Defense, in our United States' first foray into Middle Eastern wars, the Persian Gulf War, he was obviously part of that too. So, you know, I think both President Bush and Vice President Cheney made the best decisions that they could make with the information they had and the circumstances in which they were given. And some of those decisions turned out to be very, very right. And some of those decisions obviously turned out to have been extremely polarizing and unpopular. And, you know, we'll be debating them for a very long time. I do think the thing about Bush and Cheney both at that time was that I think they both thought they were doing what was right to keep Americans safe. And, you know, there was not another terrorist attack on U.S. soil while they were in office.
But the consequences for many people in Iraq and the strategic consequences were very dire.
Sure. Those were consequential decisions. There's no question about it. I'm not really going to go back in time and criticize Vice President Cheney here on the day that he's passed away about making decisions that or making advice to the president, I should say, about what he thought was best to keep America safe or in the best interest of American national security. But you're absolutely right. Americans have debated these matters for years. And certainly I think that era sort of led to a souring of the American people on military intervention around the world. I mean, we not only had the war in Iraq, but then we had the, you know, long lingering war in Afghanistan as well. And so I do think there's a little bit of fatigue from those decisions among the American electorate for military intervention around the world. I think that's true.
Scott, earlier you were alluding to the way in which Dick Cheney changed the role of vice president. It had been a ceremonial role, often in the hands of others. In what way do you think he changed the way the role was performed during his time?
Well, what's interesting about him is that he had no personal ambition at that point to become president. You know, most of the time, vice presidents are looked at as potential future presidents. Kamala Harris certainly was. I think J.D. Vance is today. I mean, that's common. But by the time George W. Bush picked Dick Cheney, I think he was past that point in his career. And so when you don't have your vice president serving in that role as a potential successor, it kind of, in my opinion, it sort of makes them really more into an advisor. And Cheney's years of Washington expertise, both having been in the House and having been Secretary of Defense and having been White House Chief of Staff, made him the most experienced advisor that George W. Bush could have possibly had. So that experience, I think, combined with his, you know, lack of presidential ambition, ultimately made him a steady hand, someone who was always operating as purely as an advisor to the president, who did not really have an eye on his own political future because he knew there wasn't going to be one. I do think when you're in that role, and those are the circumstances you have, it does change things. You know, if you're thinking of yourself as a future candidate versus as someone who, you know, this is the last stop in my career, I do think it changes how you operate and perhaps the perception of you. But I think his experience in all those different jobs in both the executive and legislative branch, you know, gave him knowledge and insight that really nobody else had. And made him a very, very powerful advisor to President Bush.
Scott, just finally, in latter years, Dick Cheney was a very strident critic of Donald Trump. How was that received within Republican ranks?
He, like other Republicans from the old guard, departed from President Trump after January 6th. And he was certainly wasn't the only one, but he was one of the most high profile. And certainly his daughter, Liz Cheney, was perhaps the most prominent Republican critic of President Trump out there. Now, I think Vice President Cheney did support Donald Trump in 2016, even when some people weren't. And so, you know, he had a little bit of a roller coaster with Trump. But, you know, he's hardly unusual in that. But I don't think it overshadows his overall service to the country or his overall service in long history with the Republican Party. I'll certainly always remember him as a great vice president, a great Republican, you know, kind of a grandfatherly figure. I had a chance to brief him on numerous occasions when I worked for the Bush-Cheney team. And, you know, even though I'm a supporter of President Trump and he wasn't, that doesn't diminish his service to the country and the party in my eyes.
Scott Jennings, thank you so much for making some time for us this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.